All right, Namco US Division, Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, two absolute smashes in a row. We've got the biggest arcade cabinets of all time. This franchise can't miss. So I want to hear, what's next for that little yellow circle who loves to eat?
I'm just going to go right out of the gate and say suck, man.
Oh.
I mean, you want to call Pac-Man suck, man? Like he's sucking the dots instead of eating the dots?
Yeah. So it's Pac-Man, but he's got a long straw. And you move the straw around in the maze and he sucks up the dots. Suck, man.
Okay. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd love the title Suck Man. I think probably Pac-Man should be in there, but the idea of a straw, hey, that could be a fun mechanic. So, you know, it's just a matter of let's gray box it and let's play test.
If we can keep, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Maybe it's just to keep the Pac-Man branding forward. It could be something like Pac-Man Suck Me.
Okay. Let's get off of this idea and let's just come up with some other ideas for now.
You know, his little sound is like wagga 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 wagga, but yeah. Instead it would be
I don't know if our sound chips can even recreate that, even if that's what we want to do. But I'm gonna write this on the whiteboard for now.
We've done a lot of work to like flesh this idea out. You know, because like we've come up with some designs that when, you know, usually when Pac-Man eats the ghosts, they go back to their little ghost cage and they're still ghosts.
Yeah.
But in this one, the ghosts turn into skeletons and then a screen pops up that says Pac-Man just sucked you dry.
Okay. I think that's just like the word I'll use is weird.
I don't see how or why. It's like it's very clear what happened and it makes sense. Let's,
also,
look, this one's on the board. There's an asterisk next to it. We'll return to it. Yeah.
Innovation for the cabinet itself, which is that there would be a humidifier underneath the joystick so it would be moist at all times.
That sounds unpleasant. I don't, you know, you're already having a sweaty hand on the arcade. And then also, I'm not even thinking about maintenance here. We got to refill this. We got to have our operators refill this humidifier all the time. What if they get water on the delicate circuitry? Look, let's forget about Suckman. Okay. Let's just some other ideas. What else can Pac-Man be? Because this character can evolve over the years.
Yeah. All right. So what do we know about Pac-Man? He's yellow.
Yes.
He's the cool dude we know and love.
Yeah. So what's he full of? Pee. Right?
Yeah, he's like a Kool-Aid man of piss.
Yeah. So could it be that it's bathroom man, and he's going to the bathroom, and if you don't get him there in time, he dies. So it's a race against the clock. Oh, it's a race against the clock where you got to get Pac-Man to the bathroom or he's going to die.
I got two pitches on this pitch. The ghosts are now shits, and the little white dots are cum.
You're both fired, of course. We're just going to make Pac-Land. We're just going to make a side-scroller. We'll make a fucking side-scroller, right? It'll be fine.
Don't give him arms!
Give him arms and legs. This is the right way to go. Arms and legs and a family and a side-scroller. That's what Pac-Man should be doing. Not your weird shit. Get the fuck out of here. We gobble up dots and navigate mazes and do a bunch of other weird shit like wield a grappling hook as we discuss Pac-Man and its many, many follow-up games on this week's Get Played!
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to Get Played! I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
That's me, Nick Weiger, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. And welcome back to Get Played.
I've got COVID. I'll just say that up top.
And no, so, I didn't give it to Nick.
Didn't get it from Matt. We haven't seen each other IRL. No, I got it from an all likelihood from touring for my other podcast. I guess big week for my haters. Congratulations. I've got COVID. Sucks.
Shout out to the haters and the losers. But now we could say that this one's your favorite podcast because this one didn't give you COVID.
This one didn't give me COVID, at least as far as I could tell. but I'm hanging in there. And Heather, I can't remember last week if we discussed whether or not we got your thoughts on Street Fighter VI, which I think people would want to hear. Did we talk about that at all in the pod?
I don't think we did.
I don't think we did.
No.
I just want to go hard on, I'm super into Destitute Ken. So one of the biggest announcements so far has been, this is canonically the first time the game series has progressed past the plot of Street Fighter 3, because both Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter 5 were prequels to Street Fighter 3.
Wow.
So this is effectively Street Fighter 4 in terms of story. And the story is, Eliza got tired of waiting for Ken to fucking show up and left him with the kids. And now he looks like shit. And he's the Trubbish of Street Fighter now,
wow,
which means he might be my main. For the first time ever, I might mainline Ken.
Wow.
I've also read rumors that he doesn't do his dragon punch very well anymore. And if that shit's true, if he's like clumsy.
I would like it if in Street Fighter, it looks like doing their moves hurts. Like it's like, ow.
Well, there's battle damage. Like they showed off that like when Guile got the shit kicked out of him in a fight, that his his post game quote was like with a fucking black eye. And he's like, go home. I'm a American military hero or whatever.
You ripped my shirt. My favorite shirt.
But so that's my first and most excited piece of news about Street Fighter VI. My least excited piece of news from Street Fighter VI is maybe somebody needs this. I don't need a fucking Mario Galaxy style hub where I run around with my fucking Street Fighter looking for a fight.
You don't want a subspace emissary for Street Fighter?
I don't need it. I want fight, 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 fight. It would be great if I could just set, if you could set fights to infinite, and they would just keep coming. And right, while, like, that you would effectively be in a queue, and the queue would give you, 30 seconds till your next fight. And if you win, you stay in the lead of the queue. And if you lose, you go to the back of the queue, just like a fucking arcade.
Yeah.
And you put your quarter on the machine to save your place in line. Yeah.
And there's a million billion lobbies, so these queues aren't necessarily very long, but the way you propel yourself forward and stay in a flow state is that they come to you as you keep winning.
You want Street Fighter Third Strike 99. That's what you want. Like a Tetris 99.
God.
Version of your favorite Street Fighter. That's what you want.
Oh my God, that's the macaroni and cheese right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy shit. Wow.
I want to introduce our guest, but I am looking at the Street Fighter VI Ken redesign, and I'm realizing I could cosplay this alarmingly easy. So honestly, put a necklace on, I'm there.
Nick is the guy who looks like his wife left him, even though she hasn't.
Our guest today, editor at Polygon and co-host of the podcast Triple Click and the Mutant Ages, Maddie Myers. Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
Hi, Maddie. So
thanks for being here.
Hi, Maddie.
I'm so upset that we didn't all play Third Strike 99. I'm upset that we haven't manifested it effectively into existence and that's not what we're all here to discuss because that sounds freaking awesome.
Who knows? Maybe someone will hear it and then
Capcom.
Do it.
Capcom. Please. Just take it. Take the idea.
Take the idea.
Well, give me, I don't know, $100 million.
No, you can have it. Yeah. No,
they
just
wouldn't
run.
Do it even then. Let's be honest with ourselves.
Okay, fine. How about $2 million?
See, it was too powerful.
Too high.
There was a Pac-Man 99, not to jump into the topic right away.
There was. Sick. There was.
I never messed around with that.
Oh, man, he's got COVID brain. He's all over the place.
He wants to talk about the main topic now?
But we have so much more material to get through. I have 20 minutes on Ken, and how I made him an SF4. Because he had a pink gi.
And that one.
And he had really a pink gi and a little, like, purple boa that kind of lined the gi. It was the most flamboyant possible Ken, which is the best possible Ken because he's American, you see. And we're into stereotypes in Street Fighter. So, you know he's got to bring that flash, that flavor. Something really 100%. Doesn't have.
By the time we got to 5, everybody was flamboyant. It was oh, shit, Akuma's wearing, like, a Monopoly board and, like, a car on his head. Like, it's just fucking nuts.
Yeah. And I feel like Fang as the gimmick character in that game was also just such a shark jump that we all needed to turn back time to something else. Or literally, I guess, turn back time in terms of the story of Street Fighter, which we've all been following. And we've all been going, when's the next installment?
Yeah. I have.
It's definitely not just Heather. No, well, that's what I'm saying. All of us, in addition to Heather, have all been following it and knowing exactly what's going on.
Sometimes I stay awake at night wondering, when will they complete this story?
I'm definitely not playing each Street Fighter campaign and allowing all the information in it to flee my brain instantly upon completing it. That isn't what I've been doing with each Street Fighter game.
It
I've
sounds like you need a refresher. It sounds like you need to know that Chun-Li joined Interpol in order to hunt down M. Bison / the Dictator and then defeated him at the end of Street Fighter 2 so that she could go back to being like, a normal girl.
a normal girl who just puts on her cop uniform for shits and giggles every now and then. But the rest of the time, she's just strutting those thighs,
ACAB
you know?
Does include Chun-Li, unfortunately.
I know.
Yeah, sorry.
I know. Like, I how know did Chun-Li feel about, like, the Hong Kong protests and stuff? We're gonna get into it
we're
on the show.
We're gonna get it. We're gonna find
we're gonna unpack it.
That
we're gonna
be
find out.
Fucking crazy ending to Chun-Li's, like, campaign.
Yeah. She's, like, just questioning herself. And being like, I don't know, like culturally, cops don't necessarily mean the same thing here, but sociopolitically, they're starting to. And what does that mean to me? Street Fighter's going to get into it.
She throws it in the trash like that Spider-Man comic and he just like walks away from it.
Yeah, sure.
What is that from?
What?
It's like from like a Spider-Man comic. He's like, he's like, I'm done being Spider-Man or
and
something.
And he throws his uniform in the
throws
trash.
It in the freaking trash. And it's in like
I thought there was some meta thing where like the Tom Holland Spider-Man threw a Spider-Man comic in the trash. And I was like, was that the second one? I didn't see that.
No. Marvel is, you know, you could accuse them of a lot of things, but that's a little too far in for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a little too Deadpool. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. That's Deadpool. You can do it.
He's so funny, that one. I mean, he looks at the camera. Let's get into that.
Friend of the show, Deadpool.
Let's not talk about what we're here to talk about. How much more can we do? Please. I have so much more filler.
Maddie might be the first time I've ever heard a human being say the name Fang out loud.
You know, I should have said F-A-N-G. It is F-A-N-G, isn't it? Am I?
I don't know. Because
I think
sure.
he does. And does it stand for something? I feel like I should know this because for a long time.
I feel like Fang
time,
stands for anything, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah. No, I do know what you mean. Like,
what does he fall
politically,
for?
He doesn't stand for anything other than poisoning people and going, wah! But he, I think it's an abbreviation of some kind.
I'm looking. It is an acronym. I'm looking at the Street Fighter wiki, but I can't see what it actually stands for. It is FANG.
I don't know
if it has an actual.
It stands for
it's fucking
anything.
Adult ninja guy.
Yeah, love it. So wait, what's your usual main, Heather?
Well, my main in
do every game, run them down.
So, okay. So my main
isn't
in
this week's topic. We're supposed to be talking Pac-Man.
Guys, the rails, they're all the way back over there.
Okay, so in Street Fighter 1, when you're just punching the arcade cabinet, is your main just like
the cabinet was my
knuckle
main.
Braces? Yeah, okay. Great.
I feel like I didn't really develop a main until 3. Like in Street Fighter 2, I was like agnostic. I was like, oh, who's my opponent? And I'll choose like the best counter.
Counter picks. I see.
But in Street Fighter 3, I was like, I'm Akuma all the fucking time, all the way, every single day. Then in 4, I started as a Ryu main, moved to Akuma, and then finally stuck with Oni for the last, like, chapter of the game because he was so funny. I loved that he could punch. He had a move where he punched you in the, like, he punched you up and then punched you in the air, and it was so funny every time it happened.
Yeah.
Then in 5, I started when the game dropped and there were so few characters and I was so bummed out and I mained Ryu for a long time and then quit.
Yep. That's a common story with that game, tragically.
I picked it back up recently and was having a lot of fun with it, but at that point, it's like I can't drop into PUBG and know what the fuck I'm doing today. Right. Mm-hmm. There's like a half decade of player base. And the same with Street Fighter V. Like I was like, you know, toe in toe, like keeping with it. And eventually it was like, this fucking sucks. I'm not having fun. But I think I'll have to see what the roster is. But I'd love to go back to a Ryu or a Kuma and just.
Some type of Shoto character is what you're telling me.
If the dragon punch that Ken does really looks shitty, if it makes me laugh every time, like I mained Dan for a while in 4 because it was so funny to play.
Dan's a funny character.
Yeah.
The only time I was into Shoto characters was when I played Ken, which I did sort of as a bit for a while because I just thought it would be funny to pick Ken because why on earth would you do that? But mostly I'm a Charge character person, like the Chun-Li's of the world, the Blancas of the world. I was a real troll player with Blanca. But, you know, question answered, I guess. We got to get into Pac-Man. You know what I mean? We gotta pop some power pellets down the old gullet. We gotta power up and eat some ghosts. Ghosts.
I also was into Charge characters mostly, but that was
Get back to Street Fighter.
Thank you. A lot of that was because of just like, you know, I was playing so much of it on the Super Nintendo port, and just the quarter circle, you know, motions are a little punishing with the old D-pad on the old thumbs. So I ended I became more of like a Guile, Chun-Li, E Honda. I liked M. Bison, but I like Balrog a lot. Balrog's fun.
Oh, yeah.
He is fun. Yeah.
Just punching.
I like Charge characters because it taught me how to block. Because for a while, I would just be like, I'll just keep attacking. Why would you ever block? Because then you're not attacking and you'll lose, which is, not how fighting games work. For some reason, you can't just keep attacking and like win.
Wait, is it true?
I don't know. I've learned this the hard way. So if you're constantly holding back in order to charge up, then you're also inadvertently blocking. So it was sort of a way to trick my brain into learning how to do something I didn't want to do.
This is news to me. This is all brand new information. I didn't know there was a, you said block? Is that what the word you used?
Yeah. No need, though. I mean, if you're powerful enough or you jump enough or whatever you're doing instead, I guess. I don't know. Just getting out of the way.
Jab. You just jab.
Yeah.
You just jab constantly.
Sweep the leg. You just sweep the leg over and over.
That's Heather's same technique for social media. No block, just jab.
Where's the mute button in Street Fighter? Am I right, folks?
We do have Pac-Man to talk about, but before we get to that, I have one more question for the panel. Guys, what are you playing?
Wow. What are you playing?
Let's talk about some video games we're playing. Now, I guess I can lead things off. Little bit about... I will say briefly that I did play a good amount more Diablo Immortal. Played some with a controller, not just touchscreen. Played some on PC. I'll save my thoughts on that. I will direct everyone instead to an article we will link in the comments. Diablo Immortal proves Diablo was always meant for phones. Microtransactions work a little too well with the Diablo formula by Maddie Myers. I read this and was just like, as a longtime Diablo fan, just nodding along. Just like, yeah, that's 100% my feeling. So instead, I'll talk about Citizen Sleeper a little bit, which I rolled credits on. and immediately played through it again, which I don't normally do, but I just like kind of wanted to. And also, you don't need to do. I don't want anyone to be intimidated into not playing it by thinking you have to play through this game like multiple times to see everything. You can absolutely get through all the quest lines in one go. And also, the character builds, there's three different classes, but they all kind of converge at the end. You get enough skill points where you can kind of have an all-around character. I got about six of the endings. If it's not a spoiler to say how many endings there are a bunch of them. Man, I really loved it. I just thought it was a really... You know, I love anti-capitalist sci-fi. It feels like we're getting a lot of that these days. It really extrapolates our current systems to be talking about like, hey, what if BP and Amazon like had their own colonies and their own schools and their own militaries? You know, so it's kind of it's really particularly hellish. The premise, which I think I've talked about in previous episodes, but your robot, the titular sleeper who has a consciousness that belongs to a human. And they've allowed their brain to be digitally reproduced to circumvent bans on sentient AI and then sold you to a corporation. So it's like a copy paste of someone else's, not a cut paste, a copy paste of someone else's consciousness. They're still in a vat somewhere. And you're the robot with their brain, but you don't have their body or anything. And so it's got a lot of philosophical interrogation of like what consciousness is exactly. And the writing and designer by Jump Over the Age, a.k.a. Gareth Damian Martin. I haven't played the previous game, but it's just great. It's just really good writing, just reams and reams of text. And it's on Game Pass, also on Switch, which I maybe haven't mentioned. So I highly recommend it to anyone who loves an RPG where there's just where it's mostly reading. And it's, you know, just cool sci-fi ideas, a barrage of them. But there's also just a really cool aesthetic to this game. It's got a very clean look to it. I love how all the UI looks and sounds, really good sound design and score by Amos Roddy. Let's play a little bit of this track. This is Prismatic Lens.
Ooh.
Yeah, just a lot of this moody sort of atmospheric.
This rocks.
Yeah.
Stuff throughout.
Very cool.
Really, really great. I bought this score off of a Bandcamp. It's already turned into kind of my some work music I'll have going in the background. It's a really nice package. I really, really enjoyed my time with Citizen Sleeper. That's my monologue. Over to Matt.
That was really nice.
Me next. Okay, I don't have that much to say. I mean, well, that's not true. Oh my God, you guys are gonna be so mad at me. I didn't bounce off of it completely, but I've temporarily put Dark Souls on hold.
Wow.
Maddie doesn't know this.
Stop.
I think in like the second area. I just defeated the last thing I did was I defeated that butterfly, which is very early on.
Okay,
still in the
sure.
Game.
Yeah.
But I defeated the butterfly. And that took me, what felt like 100 tries. But I did do it. But I was like, I wanted to feel good at a video game. And I had just, I just got over COVID and I was like, I haven't been playing games. Let me just feel good at something again.
Sure.
And so you went with Dark Souls 1.
Well, no, this is why I stopped Dark Souls. I was like, okay, I gotta feel good.
Okay.
I had been playing it prior to me dancing with the lady COVID. And that's what I keep calling her.
It took a while to get over because you were dancing so much.
Well, yeah, I was like, I can't stop dancing. But I picked up Jedi Fallen Order because I've been watching and enjoying Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. And I was like, the episode that I had just seen, I guess had a connection with Jedi Fallen Order. And I was like, I want to see this thing. And it turned out I was very far away from that point. I was maybe about a third way through the game, but I crushed it and I finished that game.
Wow.
And loved it. I thought it was really, really great. Super fun. Things about it frustrate me. I don't like the map at all. I think the map is like one of the worst maps, period.
Is that that 3D like?
Yeah, it's like it's a little hard. It's just a little too much.
That map was bad. Yeah.
It's just a little too. I would rather a HUD map, honestly. Like I would prefer that. And then I don't like any of the portions of the game where you have to slide around. Because sometimes I felt like I was doing my best, but I was still being thrown off the track. And I was like, well, I'm not bad at this. This is bad. I thought that was bad, just bad in general. But then I was like, okay, I'm not stopping here. I'm in maintenance mode. Let's tackle this backlog. I pop in Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart, also about a third way through the game. And I just go straight through this fucker and I finish it.
Wow.
In that game, man, it might be made. Certainly one of my favorite games I've played on the PS5.
Yes.
Maybe my favorite Ratchet and Clank game, period. I love it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'll let you share your thoughts, but it's gorgeous. I think it might be one of the best looking games. I mean, it is one of the best looking games I've ever played.
Yes. Yeah. Friend of the show, Cody Ziegler, tweeted something about it that I felt the entire time I was playing it. He had just started it, and he said, I think I've said wow like 20 times out loud. That's just like what he was looking at. In the first like 20 minutes of the game. It is really, really gorgeous. It's super fun and funny. And once you start upgrading those guns, oh man. I love the beam. As I've said before, I love beams on this show, I guess.
You're a big beam guy.
I'm a big beam guy.
You've also said that space is better than old.
I've said
so
that.
So this absolutely.
And but then I've have
criteria.
I been confronted with that very concept and been proven wrong in my own life? Yes, I have. Red Dead Redemption? Old.
That's
better
old,
than most new things, you know.
Yeah.
Horizon, sort of both. And that one, I don't even know what to do with that. So right now I'm in maintenance mode, all that to say, and I'm trying to get through my backlog. I got Sackboy in the chamber right now. I love Sackboy, but the thing about Sackboy is that it doesn't feel like a game you have to finish. Because there's so much of it. I was like, I thought it was for sure almost done with it. There's like 10 levels in each world. I was like, this is surely too much. They could take some of these out.
Matt, you are the finisher. You finish games.
Yeah, that's
you
right.
Go, you return to your backlog and you actually clean it out, as so many of us do not. How many games have you finished so far this year?
I finished 12 games this year already.
12 games in June.
Wow.
You're on track
Pokemon
for two
games.
A month.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And I, you know, hopefully we'll finish some more soon. And now I have the new PlayStation Plus tiers. I have the premium tier. I'm freaking screwed. There's too many games.
Too much.
If you see a game, are you compelled to finish it? Like, it's not just that you have a backlog that you need to get through. It's like, oh my God, this game's accessible to me. Uh-oh. So,
in a way, yes. And in a way, no. Cause I'll start a game. I'm less inclined to start a game, to finish a game on a platform like Game Pass or like PlayStation Plus now, because I'm like, well, like it's there. But like, if I physically bought the game, I'm like, I should try to finish this. But do I always?
Sure.
No, not really. But it's something. I think it was one of my New Year's resolutions on this show, actually, was to finish more of my games. And so I'm making good.
I would never resolve such a thing.
Yeah.
Absurd.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were all, it's an insane resolution. Cause it's like you lost 150 pounds last year and your New Year's resolution was to lose weight. You finished over 20 games last year. You might have finished 30.
Four games, I think.
Yes.
Last year. Yeah.
I'm already doing that.
To do it again. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm one sick and twisted individual.
Yeah, you're a little freaky.
I'm a
freaky guy.
I'm a freak.
That's why we love you.
Beat. Yeah.
Twisted.
I'm like a Joker.
Whereas as soon as I stop feeling something, I'm done. Middle of the movie, book on the final chapter, I'm out.
Will you walk out of a movie in a theater day?
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. Whatever. I don't care.
Wow.
There's a great meme from at the share zone on Twitter. It's a very popular meme, and it's a skeleton, and it says...
You're trying to say duh share zone?
Duh share zone, that's
okay,
right.
Yeah. I didn't know what you meant. Yeah.
Yeah, so sorry. No, I hate to be so formal. But the premise of the meme is, if it sucks, just leave. Just stop. Don't do it. Don't go to work. Leave the store if you don't want to be there anymore. Just get
that's
the fuck
me.
Out. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's
me
so,
with
you
video
know, that's
games.
You with games.
And anything. Yeah. But if I do want to finish something, I will. And if I resolve to finish something... If I'm enjoying it, then I will. So I'm not saying there I can't do it. I'm merely choosing not to, Matt. I could be you.
Hey, that's okay. You look, you know, very few people aspire to be me. So it's, you know, it's okay.
I'm choosing not to. I'm choosing
this. That's fair.
Yeah. It's sensible. It's prudent. But Maddie, what have you been playing lately?
Wait, Matt, you went to Dark Souls 1. Where did you stop? You have to answer the question first.
I stopped truly like right after the butterfly.
You stopped at the Moonlight Butterfly. And you were like, I've defeated the butterfly.
Yes. And now I'm going to have to look at a guide, I think, because it's been,
you don't know where
it's been a couple weeks and I forgot what I was on my way to go do next. But I'm a big guide guy. I'll look at a guide for anything.
And Dark Souls has a guide built in if you're playing online. There's little messages everywhere.
Yes, so exactly. Good. Yeah. So hopefully nobody is bamboozling me or leading me astray.
That won't happen. It'll be fine.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess this answers the question in my own case. After I beat Elden Ring, I did go back to Dark Souls 1, which I've also not completed. And may never complete, although I would love to. But it's you know, it's kind of like the journey is the destination, man. So I'm just kind of in Sen's Fortress, just hanging out in there. I mean, like, sure, do I want to get to the end of it? I guess. Do I want lizards to stop throwing lightning bolts at me and to meet some other type of enemy that throws some other type of thing at me? I don't know. I may never get to the end of this. I don't know. It was mega, mega weird to go from Elden Ring, which is so... Well, first of all, there's a jump button in Elden Ring. That's the biggest difference between those two games.
And a nice horse.
And a horse, a little horsey, and, you know, pretty graphics and all these other quality of life changes that we don't have to get into. And then to go to Dark Souls 1, which is just truly going back into the mines. The beautifully designed mines that I love and will insist to everyone that they play because it's the only way to truly understand FromSoft. However, it is also the hard stuff. It's hard. And I don't know if I'm going to beat it or not. The other thing I'm playing is Suikoden 2 because I lost a bet to Jason Schreier, my co-host.
Oh, yes.
And
Suikoden!
This is where we deviate,
Heather. Oh, no!
This is where we cannot... I'm so sorry.
What? You guys seem like you're going to be friends earlier.
I know, right? Because we both play Street Fighter, and I was like, I got to get in early with this. And then I got to break her heart later.
Oh, no.
I cannot.
Oh, man, Suikoden. Oh, no.
Honestly,
my friend.
If a JRPG was made before the year 2000...
Oh, no, no.
I'm out here struggling.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I guess people could go listen to Triple Click if they want to hear more detailed thoughts on how wrong I am. And I've accepted that I'm wrong. Like, I know that I'm besmirching, like, Moby Dick over here or whatever.
No,
although
I mean,
I do think reading Moby Dick is more fun than playing Suikoden 2. But
it's
fine. Moby Dick, actually pretty good.
Oh, no.
Let me just come out and say that. Moby Dick, pretty funny book. There's some good bits in there. But Suikoden 2... you fight Necklord in this? You fight Dracula in this video game? Like, everybody's like, okay, so here's the thing about Suikoden 2. It's political. It's serious. You're recruiting. You're canvassing. You're recruiting 108 members of your army. You have to meet them all individually. You have to do fetch quests for every single one of them. They've got to be hyper-specific. You get to know them all through maybe 5 to 8 lines of dialogue, and they fight alongside you up to the final battle, and it's all, like, real politics, and, like, sure, there's magic, but it's, like, magical realism. You know, George R. R. Martin played this game, probably. I don't know if that's true, but it seems like the kind of game that guy would have been into, and then he wrote Elden Ring, so, like, how could you say it's bad? But then just randomly in the middle of everything, they're like, and you fight Dracula.
Yeah.
And when you meet Dracula the first time, it's corny enough. But I just beat that guy the second time. Spoilers, you beat Dracula twice. And the second time you meet this guy, you go up to him and you're like with all your army buddies. Yeah. And your army buddies are like, oh, fuck, it's Dracula again. I bet he's conspiring with the bad guys who are, like, on the other side of the army that we're all going to have to fight against in the final battle. That's so fucked up. Like, Dracula's working with those guys. And Dracula interrupts you to be like, no, 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 no. This is unrelated. I don't care about the main plot of the game at all. I'm just doing my own thing. I'm Dracula, and I'm recruiting zombies to make a zombie army. It's totally separate. Don't get it twisted. I am pure, pure profit over here. Like, I don't give a shit about whatever you guys are doing. And it is, it's bizarre to me. I don't understand what's happening. I never know what's going on in this game. But tell me why I'm wrong. Because I want to be convinced. Please.
No, well, you don't, I'm not gonna fight you on it. Like, I feel like all games are for somebody, and
sure,
if you don't like Suikoden, like, I'm not gonna tell you you're wrong. I'm just gonna say that I like Suikoden.
Well, I am wrong. What do you love about it?
I mean, so I played it when it came out, so it was a sure. very different experience than if playing it in 2022.
Right,
and it felt so monumental to be like, wow, I can choose my party out of all of these people. Like, mm-hmm. it felt like I, even though so many of them are not really different from other persons, and you know, like, oh, this guy's got a bow and that other guy's got a bow.
And so did like 12 more guys, because there's 108 of these guys. Yeah.
But it felt like I was influencing something in a large scale way, in a way mm-hmm. that like almost made games like Final Fantasy VII feel intimate by comparison. It was like the difference between reading a novel and reading a sort of short story. And so at the time I was like, fuck this. This is video game War and Peace. I was wrong, but it felt like it.
I get that, though. And I've tried to get myself into that headspace when I'm playing it of like, okay, Maddie, imagine you're Jason Schreier, but you're 12 years old and you're like going to be a part of the school newspaper in a couple years and like, you know, pick some fights at high school or whatever. But like right now, your mind's getting blown by Suikoden 2. And like, I can sometimes get there and see the War and Peace of it all. But then other times I'm like, I could just play Fire Emblem Three Houses. Like, I could just play the games that like took this template and made it so digestible and awesome and well-written and are the product of having had those inspirations over the past 2 decades plus. I'm lucky. I get to just enjoy that. But it's not like I didn't have games that I played when I was 12 years old. Pac-Man's one of them, but we're not going to talk about that right
now. Not yet.
Not quite yet. We're getting there.
We're real close.
Anyway, that's what I've been playing.
Wow.
I guess I should say what I've been playing, which is that, you know, the claws have never left me from Pokemon Go. I walked like 30 fucking miles in the last couple of weeks because it was the Pokemon Go Fest. So that's like my everyday game. But my new... You guys know how much I love an accessory that transforms something and is hard to find. And then like, okay. So this cartridge came out in the last couple of weeks called Super MIDI Pack. It was designed by Ryan Hunter, who is at C-E-J-E-T-V-O-L-E, Sejetivol, on Twitter. And it is a cartridge that goes into your Super NES, and then you can plug MIDI cables into the cartridge and play your Super NES as a synthesizer.
Wow.
And have full access to the sound chip and just fucking write or play music. You can, like, create your own, you know, anachronistic...
Chiptunes?
Yeah, chiptunes. Like, you can play Final Fantasy music on a Super Nintendo that wasn't ever supposed to be there. And I want to share a demo song that was because it's also sort of unlimited what you can do with the sound chip because it's MIDI based. You can then output to a computer and just be like taking the raw Super NES sound chip and putting it into GarageBand or whatever your music synthesizing, composing program of choices. So I want to share with you guys a song that was composed for the demo of Super MIDI Pack.
This rocks.
Totally sounds like the main menu from like a Japan-only Mahjong game that was never localized. Like, hell yeah. Came out in 1993. This is a fucking banging soundtrack. Yeah. This rules.
Anyway, that's the cartridge that I've been fooling around with this week. It is unfortunately sold out at the moment. This is a pre-order that I did a year, maybe 2 years ago at the beginning of pandemic. But there has been the rumor that there's going to be a second pressing. So you can go to the website and put your name in the hat and get Super MIDI Pack at some point in the future. But fuck, It is wild. It's wild to play a keyboard and have it coming out of your Super NES. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome. It sounds so cool. I had a cartridge for my Game Boy once that let me do something kind of like that, but it was like super hard to get it to work. And this sounds 1,000 times better and cooler.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Is the license let you just sort of like, are you free to just, you know, release whatever you compose with it?
What? I mean, it's, there's no,
because it's just like a MIDI.
Yeah, I would assume so, but I don't know.
They can't tell you what you can and can't do with the sound, Nick.
I would think so, but I don't know.
You can't outlaw art, man.
Well, there's no recording on the actual Super NES, so I don't know how you would determine that you had used the Super MIDI pack to access that sound chip. I think it's just if you could plug a keyboard into your Super Nintendo. You are in charge of the music that you make, right?
And also, there's already ways to compose chiptunes. They're just significantly more onerous than what you're describing here. It's the interfacing of it is more difficult. Usually there's like a little bit of a learning how to program it within a proprietary program that somebody's created or something.
Yeah, and it's a...
I'm basing this on my own experience. Maybe some people don't think it's annoying to make chiptunes. In my experience, it is annoying, especially compared to just playing a synthesizer, which is much easier.
I would like to go to a concert and see a Super NES on the stage. I think that'd be really great. It'd be great.
I've been to, when I saw Anamanaguchi play live, they had Game Boys lined up on
stage. They do bring Game Boys. Dan Mulcannon has his electric guitar and his Game Boy, and he like hits samples on the Game Boy and then like plays dope licks on his
guitar.
That's
awesome.
It's awesome. I mean, but using the Game Boy is a little different. I don't know if I've ever seen a band bring like an NES as their chiptune creator, as opposed to just, you know, using the sound card to record sounds onto something else that they then use. But maybe it's been done.
Mm. Don't know.
Wow.
Challenge to all musicians out there. Will you accept?
How many old consoles can you bring with you on stage and play live? Actually, like using what Heather's describing, I feel like it is now much easier to do.
Oh, yeah.
In a way that it previously wasn't. So actually...
You just have to get the thing that's sold out.
It's as easy to do as it is with a Game Boy, like I was describing. So that's... Well, but yeah, you just have to get the thing that's sold out. Yeah, what am I saying? It's so easy now. It's as easy as getting a PS5. It's just that easy, folks.
I told Devin, I was like, hey, Devin, look, if you ever want to borrow this to make music for our show, then go ahead. And he didn't write back for like hours. And I was like, oh, did I give him like a... existential crisis? Like, did he just... But I think he was working because later he was like, wow!
Yeah, that sounds like Devin. That's like the Devin I know.
He spent hours just staring at him and he was like, wow! It was just up until that moment he was blown away by it. Cool.
Well, hey, speaking of memorable music, Pac-Man.
Wow.
Honestly, that's the way it worked for me because I heard the music and I was transported.
Yeah,
immediately. Mm-hmm.
That main little ditty you hear, absolutely.
Yeah,
100% absolutely sticks in your head. Pac-Man created by Toru Iwatani. Iwatani also oversaw Pac-Man Championship Edition, which I would say my favorite Xbox Live arcade game. We're gonna talk about
really
it a little
good.
Bit. But we were talking about this in part because Pac-Man Museum Plus came out on May 27th, has a collection of, I believe, 14 different games, including the original Pac-Man, which came out in 1980. Does not include the Pac-Man World games, which, you know, some of the 3D platformers. There's also Pac-Man's Ghostly Adventure, which I'm less familiar with. And it also does not include Ms. Pac-Man, which we'll talk about in a bit. But I guess, I kind of just want to start pretty... I mean, open-ended. Like, do you guys like Pac-Man? Do you have Pac-Man fever?
So I had a friend in high school whose mom had a Pac-Man machine in her apartment.
Full cabinet?
Full cabinet.
Wow.
Don't know the story about how she got it, but she had a full Pac-Man machine in her Chicago apartment. And one day I was like, how does this work? Of course, and unscrewed the back and found the manual to the machine in the empty, you know, cabinet behind the screen. So I was able to toggle some of the dip switches, change the amount of lives, and then
set it to free play, which it hadn't been previously, which was part of the reason I opened it up. And there was a full set of years in high school where I was playing Pac-Man constantly.
Wow.
Amazing.
And got really, really good at memorizing the first set of like ghost patterns, because it's mm-hmm. only the same. It's the same motions over and over and over again. So that's my personal heartfelt lead in to saying that Pac-Man Museum is dog shit. And for those of you who have missed our old format where we played fucking shitty games and were sad, that's how right. I felt playing fucking Pac-Man Museum on the Xbox. What is it? The Series X? Mm-hmm. I don't even know which. The fucking cube that I have.
Do you have the tall one or do you have the long one? Is it white or black?
It's black. I have that
okay,
one.
Okay, you got the Series X probably.
Yeah. So I was legitimately excited to get this. I don't have Game Pass anymore because I wasn't using it. So I was like, you know what? I'll buy Pac-Man Museum. I love Pac-Man. Spent $20 and hated every fucking second. Every fucking second of playing Pac-Man Collection Museum, whatever.
Well, because you pointed this out. And first off, Heather, I've known you for well over a decade. And somehow you have an amazing story for everything. And I've heard none of them. I don't know how this always happens. but
maybe you should ask some more questions you mentioned of your friend, Nick.
We'll see. Prefer to discussing pop culture with them. Don't even know about their lives. So we have you were talking about the input lag playing Pac-Man, and I hadn't, it's been so long, I think, since I played a proper Pac-Man cabinet that for me, I was like, it feels a little stiff and unresponsive, but maybe this was how it actually played. I don't fucking remember. So I played some on MAME as a point of comparison after you said that and after I read some feedback. And it's like, yeah, it is not quite night and day, but there's a significant difference. And it does not feel great when you're playing that, honestly, and Championship Edition are the best two games in the collection. So original Pac-Man not feeling great is not ideal.
Mm. Yeah, if you went down to... Like when pre-pandemic, when I would go down to a barcade, I would just pull up in front of a Pac-Man machine and, you know, impress somebody.
How did that play out? Like, so when you would be playing Pac-Man, would somebody come up and be like, whoa there, doggy, you've been sitting here a long time.
I glitched out. I didn't get the kill screen on
drink.
Fucking Pac-Man. Yeah. But no, come on, man.
No, I'm serious. It was a serious question. Do people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they
okay.
do. If you're at a barcade that's got like a social vibe and people are, you know, people got
people
a drink
drinking,
or whatever.
People are looking over each other's shoulders.
Yeah.
Sure.
And you see somebody with like an enormously high score on a very fast board of Pac-Man.
Okay. Yeah. Like, no, that's a good point. It does get
like,
faster as it goes.
Whoa. Hey. And I managed to play at Button Mash, one of the arcades here in LA. I managed to play until I glitched out the machine and it got like cheers from people. Not like fucking Donkey Kong kill screen cheers, but just like, mm-hmm. like everyone went, whoa. And I was like, what happened? Cause I'd never seen it before. And fucking Pac-Man Museum, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, Heather.
Devastating. That's, I mean, that's it. Yeah. That's what I got.
Wow. You're making me want to dig out my Game Boy and see if I'm any better at Pac-Man on the old Game Boy.
You will
be. That's what I... That was kind of my experience, was that I was like, maybe I'm just old now. Maybe I'm just not good at Pac-Man. But this explains a lot. I'm just going to blame input lag for all my deficiencies in life. I did really enjoy Championship Edition, which I hadn't played prior to this. So to me, it was worth it because I'd heard that it was good and it was really fun to try the different modes of Championship Edition. It's fun to play a weird rainbow trippy Pac-Man where a lot of stuff is going on. Mm-hmm. Music's fun. You're overstimulated kind of and you're a little scared and the ghosts are there. I mean, that's how you want to feel when you're playing Pac-Man. But yeah, my memories, it's not quite like Heather's version, but I did play on my Game Boy for extended periods of time because it was one of the few, you know, it was one of the 12 games I owned. So, of course, you're going to play it for a really long time because it's one of the 12 games you own. So that's it, you know, that, Tetris, Mario, etc., Link's Awakening. It's all in the mix.
I'm similar. Like the port that I actually had access to was a terrible port because my grandparents, and it was one of those things where like they like, oh, we'll get a video game system for the kids, for the grandkids. But what they got was an Atari 2600, which God bless them. And there are a few playable games, but there was some real garbage on there. And one of them, the Pac-Man 2600 port is like, it's so ugly and so, just like barely playable. So and so most of my Pac-Man experience is in the arcade is actually with Ms. Pac-Man. Yeah.
Wait. We can't just cruise past one of my favorite sound cues in the history of our show, which is the sound of Atari 2600 Pac-Man being played.
Yes.
Can we? Apodaca's already got it up.
That's so upsetting. Wow.
Sounds like a hearing test. Yeah, it's awful. Truly awful. And looks like shit. The maze is the wrong dimensions. It's got a lot. The dots
you
are even
putting
dots.
It up, you weren't like, oh, the music's so nostalgic for me. You were like, what's this song I've never heard before? What is this beautiful music I hear? Like, did that happen to you? Were you
the
like,
ghosts
oh,
are different colors? Wow.
Pac-Man's supposed to flicker in and out of existence while moving through the board.
Yeah.
I played enough of like proper Pac-Man and like emulators and stuff where I was familiar with it, but I've honestly played a lot more Ms. Pac-Man as cabinets. I feel like that's what I'll in a barcade scenario or something, or like an odd, you know, an odd bar that has a couple cabinets. I always feel like a Ms. Pac-Man or a Ms. Pac-Man cocktail is like what you'll come across. So, and I really like Ms. Pac-Man. But
just because of
I don't
the
know.
Cover art or
because the cover art. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to marry her.
Yeah.
She's yeah. She's
you
very...
like her. You want to marry her because she's a girl.
Yes.
And you, okay. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Well, also I'm an ally and I support Ms. Pac-Man.
You support women. Well, see, that's really, I'm glad we're getting into it. Like how sexist it is that they left Ms. Pac-Man out of the museum. It's,
it is strange.
Then changed to Pac-Mom now.
There's also
Ms. Pac-Man
still
got turned into Pac-Mom. Yeah,
references to Ms. Pac-Man. I mean, of course, in the other games, which I played all of them, and now
me
I
too.
Know more about Pac-Man than I ever wanted to, because some of the games include sort of references to his family life and the evil witch queen who summoned the ghost to haunt him, etc. There's like a lot of lore in
lot
Pac-Man
lore.
That I did not previously know, and I still don't really understand.
It's funny that they think that this game needed that, because it's like I don't need to know the story of the blocks in Tetris. Like it's just a who fucking cares.
Mm-hmm. It's that same level of like Pac-Man does just he's just a there's nothing to him, you know, he's a sentient pie chart who like eats, like he eats dots, that's his whole thing. But then they built such a universe around him, and I think it kind of speaks to So, you know, the Sonic the Hedgehog franchise is much more memed and gets a lot more criticism for all of its terrible games over the years. But like playing through this collection and looking at some of the other games that had the Pac-Man name on them, you just sort of see like Namco had no idea what the fuck to do with Pac-Man for most of the past 30 years. They were just like, and honestly, really until Championship Edition, there really wasn't one that really distilled what was fun about the original Pac-Man and Ms. Pac-Man. Like so many of them just either added overcomplicated mechanics or put Pac-Man into a completely different genre. Like the one you're talking about with the Evil Witch Queen starts with such a long cutscene.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going
Pac
on?
Is that Pac-Land that starts with that one?
It might be Pac-In-Time. Pac-Land, I think, is the earlier. But Pac-In-Time, yeah, has so much was released for Super Famicom, never localized, and has such an maybe Pac-Land might have the queen too. I can't remember now.
Have story involved. Because,
I think
they
do both have stories. Yeah,
Pac-Land's the one where you are walking, and you tap forward twice to walk faster.
To walk faster.
Yes.
Of course.
And then you get to, it's like find the fairy, but the only finding you're doing is that it's in your hat.
Yes. Like from the, you get from the to beginning? The end of the level and the fairy was with you all along.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's baffling. It's baffling.
That and you game, leap up and you eat little cherries. You got to leap over ghosts in that one.
Yes. Very confusing early platformer. It looks and plays like Bart versus the Space Mutants. It's like, it's so, like, so reminds me so much of that game in terms of just how it looks and feels. Matt, I'm curious, what's your history with the pack?
Well, I did just take a rapid antigen test and I've tested positive for Pac-Man fever.
Oh my God. Did you say
that one was just for me.
Antigen?
Look, don't worry about how I got there.
Did you say pack antigen?
No.
Is that what you said?
No, I didn't. I got excited about my joke that
word.
I thought of 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, because you're so excited to get it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's like when I get this out there, everyone's gonna fucking lose their mind.
Pack antigen. Yeah.
But I didn't say that. And I've played a lot of Pac-Man in my life. I had arcades mostly. I remembering one of my PlayStation games when I was a kid for PlayStation 1 was like the Namco Museum collection that has all the ones, but sure. I only ever played Pac-Man because I was like, I understand what this is. but the I'm sort of shocked that there are so many games in this franchise with this guy, because really you only need the one. They got it right the first time. It's a perfect game. It's like, it's very, very good. There's no notes for Pac-Man. Every other version of this game that I played, even like the Championship Edition is good. It's like a good edition of it. But to me, that doesn't, it's not better than the original Pac-Man. Like it's perfect. It's great. I don't care about any of the guys. I don't know. I like him. I like playing the one. But other than that, I did take a screenshot that made me laugh really hard, actually, in this game, in one of the games. I can't remember which one it was, but it starts, it's Japanese on the screen, and I don't know what
this was. This was Pack in Time, I think.
Oh, yeah, this was Pack in Time.
Yeah.
Because, it has then the English subtitles in the bottom, and it says this: our hero Pac-Man is the cool video game dude we know and love. And I'm just like, is he cool? Like, I don't know. He's just like a guy. Like, I never thought about him more than they have, I guess. They're like, this guy's the fucking coolest.
Have you ever thought about the fact that Pac-Man's eyes are Pac-Man? Like, look real closely into his eyes, and they're fucking, his eye, it's like if you looked into my eyes and there were people there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. No, you're surprised.
You're very dialed in about character design eyes, because I remember you pointed out how gross Sonic's eyes are to me, and I've never stopped thinking about it. You said that his eye probably stinks, and I was like, oh, yeah.
A lot of surface area.
When I see Pac-Man out at like at a barcade or a bar or an arcade, all three, I'll give it a go. It's fun, you know. I'll get through a couple levels. I feel like I'm a decently fine Pac-Man player, but the other iterations of it, I'm just like, it's so funny to me how wrong they could get something. It's like they had it. It's like they got too excited with it.
Even Super Pac-Man, which is pretty much the immediate follow-up.
Yes.
It's like you play those first few, and it's kind of like, it's kind of like the arcade Donkey Kong sequels to Donkey Kong. It's like, you know, Donkey Kong Jr. and Donkey Kong 3. They're just kind of like, these are just different games. This isn't what we like about the original. And, it was the early days of video gaming. People were figuring shit out. They maybe just didn't realize or didn't want to just make more of the same. But it's, a lot of these are just, like, honestly, from a curation standpoint, it's fascinating that these are all here. And just to be able to, like, look at all of them and mess around with them a little bit, but most of these are like, you don't want to play these for more than 10 minutes.
That's something I was thinking about, too. I was like, why did they put these in here? Nobody likes this.
And why did they make us enter a hub?
Yeah.
The thing we all hate doing.
Yes. We
in
hate
order
hubs.
To walk around a fake hub and walk up to a fake little arcade cabinet to play a bad game. Why did you do that, Xbox? Why did
I'm
you do that?
I'm thinking that maybe this game was in its final stages of development at the beginning of pandemic when everybody was playing Animal Crossing. Mm. And it was like, hey, what if we make an arcade that you can customize? Since everybody, since we don't know what's going to happen in the world, and maybe this is the only way we have representative spaces in our lives anymore. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it was an addition late in the game, but that's just my own headcanon about it. I will say that the soundscape of that environment is one of my favorite things about this collection, because it does evoke the sound of an arcade in the way that when you walk into an arcade and Shenmue or in Yakuza,
yeah,
mm-hmm. like there's like a sound bed there that makes me feel warm, and I think I sent that to you, Apodaca. Could you play a little bit of that nice sound bed? It just has but this is also the hub world, so it's a lot for a hub world.
Oh, it's cacophonous.
If you listen closely, you can hear my dad getting in a fight with another dad. So it's a fun detail.
Near some bad cardboard pizza that's like been sitting there for a while. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I also want to say that the reason that Ms. Pac-Man's not in this collection, because I watched a documentary about Ms. Pac-Man a while ago, is that Ms. Pac-Man, so back when arcades were first happening, people would just make modified boards.
Right.
For existing arcade games, like that were faster or had more lives or less lives or new colors or whatever, to sort of attract new clientele into the arcades. And one of the hugely successful ones was this Pac-Man modified board, which then Midway found out about. And they were like, you can't just make money off of our fucking game. and so they presented it was called General Computer, and they presented the project to Midway, who then purchased it. And then the character designer came in from Pac-Man and gave notes on the character design of Ms. Pac-Man. And that's why she exists at all, is these sort of hobbyists. But I think that's why she's not on a Namco collection, because it wasn't a Namco game.
I have some context for this along those lines. Yeah, you mentioned General Computer Corporation made this. It actually was in Pac-Man Museum, not the one without the plus, which came out in 2014. And here's a PC Gamer article from this year by Rich Stanton. Ms. Pac-Man is being written out of Pac-Man history. and it talks a little bit about this, but basically the says the General Computer Corporation, a company that made conversion kits for arcade cabinets, what you're talking about, Heather, began developing what was called an enhancement for the Pac-Man machine that was initially going to be called Crazy Auto. Then Midway saw gold and the sequel is desperate for. It bought the rights to Crazy Auto, and Namco worked to polish it up for release as a Pac-Man game, initially called Super Pac-Man. The decision was made to instead focus on the female counterpart, who was named Pac-Woman, then Mrs. Pac-Man, and finally Ms. Pac-Man. As far as why it's not in this collection, a company called At Games bought the royalty rights from the General Computer Corporation in 2019, and then Namco sued because they were going to have to pay this new corporation, At Games, royalties. At Games, I think, wanted to make basically one of those one-up sort of home cabinets with it in, and so that's the short of why it's not there. It's a bummer though, because it's just like I wish this could be resolved. I mean, it's not that big of a bummer, whatever. Ms. Pac-Man, you can fucking play it anywhere. It's not in this one collection. That's fine. But
no,
I mean,
it's the worst thing that's ever happened.
I want to play a slightly bad version of it in my virtual arcade on my Xbox. I just want to walk around the little balloons and walk past the little vending machine and then walk up to a fake cabinet. Please.
There's another Pac-Man game missing from this collection that I was minorly excited to hope that it was in it, which is Baby Pac-Man, which I believe I've talked about on this podcast before. Baby Pac-Man is console up top, pinball machine below.
And
you take Baby Pac-Man, you play like a normal Pac-Man game, but when you exit the board, you then become a ball in the pinball machine. And you go back and forth between these planes of reality. And I was like, fuck, we finally hit the point in gaming where that pinball machine would be able to be photorealistic in this collection. And then the
screen would be like a perfect representation of that like shitty 80s graphics for the actual screen. And what a neat experience that would be for people who've never fucking even seen a baby Pac-Man console, or and it's not there. It's not fucking there.
That'd be amazing. They'd have to like, you know, they'd have to figure out the physics and everything. But I mean, like, it feels like that's solvable if they had enough resources to do it. But I mean, that would be fucking, that'd be awesome.
I
don't know if I've ever played baby Pac-Man.
It is an awesome looking machine. Like, I don't remember where I was when I saw a baby Pac-Man machine, but it looks lush. Like, there's so, yeah. Like, you never see a pinball machine that also is an arcade cabinet that has a joystick and also pinball controls. It's a lot of stuff happening. But no,
it could be yours for the small price of $5,295.
That's actually, I mean, considering.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that bad considering that, like, the price of like a copy of Nintendo Power 1 is like 10 grand now.
Yeah. Oof.
We'll see one of those cabinets in Heather's background in like 2 weeks.
It'll be the entire background based on how big it sounds. It's going to be hard to miss, I think.
I want to ask a little bit about like how you figured out how to be good at Pac-Man, Heather, because like this was like a huge, there'd be like strategy guides at the time. There were, you could buy like a book on how to, like, you know, avoid the ghost AI, which is, I watched this YouTube Retro Game Mechanics Explained that talked about the ghost AI and how they're all different, and, you know, how you can sort of anticipate their patterns, but also like how the way they're programmed makes it a fun AI. But Heather, did you just intuit this just from like endless rounds of play?
Yeah, I mean, you just like, you would find a way of playing, like, once you figured out like the first layer of ghost pattern, because they always go to the same place if you don't interact with them. Right. So if you figured that part out, then you could get through the first like 10 boards or something without ever interacting with a ghost. Like, it wasn't intuitive. It was like brute forcing my way to a pattern that then worked.
Yeah, because like Blinky, the red one, somebody jump on me if I get one of the names wrong. Blinky, I think, is the red one. Blinky follows Pac-Man the whole time. And then Pinky doesn't like follow Pac-Man, or isn't trying to navigate to Pac-Man. It's trying to navigate to a square 4 in front of where Pac-Man's current position. Mm. And then Inky is trying to triangulate your position and Blinky's position, which ends up creating kind of a flanking sort of maneuver. So he'll get you from the other side while Blinky's sort of pursuing you head on. And then Clyde, who's the other one, the weird one, Clyde will kind of just does his own thing. He kind of is semi-random in terms of how he approaches. But it's, you know, the cliche is it's hard to make a hard AI. The cliche is it's easy to make a hard AI. It's hard to make a fun AI. And this is a fun AI, and that's a big part of why this game is so compelling, because like the ghosts are just different enough, but also just predictable enough where skill is like a huge part of it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's fucking, I was just playing, it's like, this fucking holds up.
It's a solid game that you can't play in this collection at all. Fucking furious.
But you can play like 10 different versions of the same game that feels kind of bad. Is that anything?
The Championship Edition didn't feel as bad as the older Pac-Man game. Like, I did feel like there was still something. It felt like it was easier to port that from the 360 to the Series S or something.
Sure,
I completed multiple playthroughs of that game with a minor amount of joy compared to like literally, I don't yell at my fucking TV, literally yelling at Pac-Man 1, just fuck, God, fuck. Like, like as loud as I could, like trying to figure out also like, okay, if it's not registering my inputs, then I'll just tap left a million times on the D-pad before I come to the corner, and that wouldn't work.
Holding left down doesn't work. Using the analog stick doesn't fucking work. Fuck.
Yeah, but some of the games feel better than others, though. I mean, yeah, I felt definitely. Like the Pac-Man arrangement, both of them were mm-hmm. more bearable to me for whatever reason. What is it? Is it Super Pac-Man where they introduce the jump, or is that Pac and Pal?
That's which one? That's
that was like Pac-Man 3D, where you get.
There's multiple Pac-Man games where you're jumping. But yeah. I'm talking about like the first game in the series where they're like, it's Pac-Man, but get this, you can jump, and also it's going to be isometric because we got to change two things because otherwise people will be
that
like,
was
is this
Pac-Mania, the one that looks like Legos? Right?
Yeah. First, but if you go on, there's different levels.
I found it very unpleasant to play. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just didn't care for it at all. It felt slippery.
The jumping's
very floaty, and turning felt weirdly slippery also.
There's also one where the corners of the, and I had never played this Pac-Man before, but it was like a really, really, really colorful play field, still like a top-down experience. And the corners were, you slipped through the corners in that game. And I was like, I don't know if this is supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
Or that's just clipping.
Yeah. Sort of thought about Pac-Mania. At first, I was like, oh, cool, you can kind of jump. But if you can jump and avoid the ghosts, I was like, well, what is this?
Yeah.
You can just do this? You can just go through the whole game and, like, avoid the ghosts, like, by jumping over them, too? Like, I don't know. I feel like there needs to be a sense of peril. They're ghosts.
I think so much of this, you just, like, going through chronologically, you can kind of see what it's in response to, right? Like, mm-hmm. even, like, and I don't know if it's one of the side-scrollers feels so much like just, like, a direct response to Sonic the Hedgehog. It's just, like, this is, oh, they're making Pac-Man super fast, and, you know, he's collecting dots in the way that Sonic collected rings.
That one was so weird. Oh, yeah. I hate that I can't remember any of the names of any of them because they all have names that don't describe what they are or what you're doing in the game. Because why would they? Why would they help you in any way?
Yeah.
But yeah, that one was super weird. And you had to like smash yourself into boxes to destroy the boxes. And then there'd be more balls inside there. And then you'd get like power-ups that I didn't understand how to use. There was like a little feather hat that I was wearing at one point. And I was like,
yes.
Well, I got this feather hat. This is like a Kirby situation, but I don't really know how to use it. Is that helpful to me? I never figured that out. But that's, hey.
So,
there was also like a super monkey pack. Like it was like a marble bowl rolling experience. There's
a
point.
Right. That pack and roll,
I bring that up because the Sonic the Hedgehog one is where they just gave up on Pac-Man having feet. Right?
Yes.
right. Yeah.
He's just like fucking rolling around in hell.
It is weird for Pac-Man to have feet, and he only has feet and hands. Don't forget the hands when he's in Pac-Land and Pac-in-Time and presumably the Ghostly Adventures game, which it's like, is that the same guy? I mean, these are the questions they don't want us to ask. But is it the same guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And also, I don't want Pac-Man to have feet, I don't think. I think I prefer him to just kind of either hover or roll around. And once he's got feet and hands, I'm like, I don't know who that guy is, and I don't think he's Pac-Man. And the fact that they're introducing him to us by saying he's the cool guy we know and love only makes it more suspicious to me because I'm like, he's not, though, because he's got feet and hands, and that's weird to me. Also, while I'm talking, Pac-in-Time, is that the one where you have to collect every single pellet before you're allowed to leave the level? Because that was upsetting to me. I didn't care for that.
I believe thought, so. That one, it really
I thought
tedious.
That was, I thought
the
that
rolling
was
one.
Punitive. No.
Yeah. No, the rolling one, you don't have to collect them all. Yeah.
You don't have to collect them all in that. You can just kind of do whatever you want. It doesn't seem like they really care. I think it's Pac and Time. Yeah. And that one, they're just like, listen, we don't even want to play this. Turn it off. Get out of here.
This game's called Pac whatever. Who fucking cares? Yeah.
In Pac and Time, it is a 2D, like, it's a platformer. But you have a lot of items. Like you got a rope and you could like attach the rope to like a rock above you and like swing on the rope to like get some more pellets. And then you got like a fireball and you can like shoot a fireball at some caterpillars and kill those guys so you can get some other pellets. And then you got like a snorkel so you could breathe underwater. And you got like I don't know. What am I missing? There's something else in there.
I had
there's
a hammer of some kind.
You have a hammer. Yeah.
You got a hammer at one point so you can hit a log so you can fall down. It's like, who needed Pac-Man to be an RPG with like items and stuff?
Yeah. And no inventory management.
Way overstuffed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was, I mean, you do have to switch between which item.
That
you
is true.
Equipped.
Yeah.
It's because so often, like, you'll the control scheme of these games are just like, you know, if you look at the built-in manual, it'll just be like, you know, the stick moves, stick or D-pad moves, and then, you know, one button press start. And then if there's a jump, maybe they'll have like a jump function. But this one had like every button on the Xbox controller is occupied by something. I was like, how did this even control when it was initially released?
Yeah,
it's so overstuffed. Yes. It's, I don't know. I mean, all that said, I'm pro Pac-Man. I think just like I'd like to see a 4K championship edition DX, you know, like let's fucking update it, put it on put that on Game Pass. I don't know. I'd love to mess around with that. That's a fun game for getting into a trance state.
I did like Pac-Man 99. We talked about it earlier. When that was
you
out,
liked it.
I loved it. I thought that was really, really great. All the 99, I liked Tetris 99.
Tetris 99,
But I loved Pac-Man 99. Something about it was just it's I don't know, so it's great for that format, only to be outdone by Street Fighter Third Strike 99 is
fingers crossed.
Yes,
wait for that
if we can bring it up.
Did
again,
you guys play Pac-Man 256 in this collection?
Yes,
because that was the
yes.
other one that I was like, this is kind of cool. I don't know that it's Pac-Man. It might be a totally different game, because the purpose of it, from what I can understand, is that you're supposed to have an unconnected streak of eating as many dots in a row as you possibly can, but the controls weren't quite good enough for me to do that, even when I'm like positive I did have an unconnected streak. So that was very unsatisfying to me. Mm-hmm. But when I did actually get like really long unconnected streaks, it felt really good. And there were also like other power-ups. Like there was a part where you had a laser beam. Matt probably loved that part. And you could like,
give me that beam.
Precision, Cyclops, pew pew, people. Mm. And by people, I of course mean ghosts. You're not actually killing people unless you are. Think about it. Mm. Who are they? So that I thought was cool. I mean, that was something that was kind of iterating on the Pac-Man formula that I was like, all right, this is introducing some new elements. The controls didn't feel super good to me, but I liked the conceit of it at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks cool too. And the game itself, it looks like it's glitching out.
Yes. You know, it's as you're playoff as of you're the crawling up screen, the screen. Yeah. And it's also isometric, which makes it feel a little bit weird. Like, oh, it's Pac-Man, but like, is it really? Things are a little askew here in 256 land. And that's what I like. I like when things are askew, you know?
Totally. I will say, yeah, that's one like of, you know, all these games I played for like 10 minutes. That was one where I was like, I'm kind of enjoying myself, but I still don't know if I'll go back to it. You know, it was like, it's more like, oh, this is a cool little gimmick. This is a cool little spin. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, there's some good ones in this package. It's a bummer that it's got some control issues. I do want to play Pac-Man Fever because Matt said he's positive for it. And also, this was a weird, like, if people don't know about this, Pac-Man was so fucking huge that a novelty song like charted in the 80s. Like, this was getting regular radio airplay. Let's hear a little of this song. Does this rule or is this dog shit? Like, it's like one or the other. I don't know.
I was just going to ask because I wasn't there. Were the 80s a prank on all of us? Like, I don't, like, that can't be real.
Yeah, I got to admit, I didn't hear this until I was much older. And I thought it was a song that had been written like contemporaneously, like in the 2010s as a joke about Pac-Man Fever in the 80s. And then I was shocked to learn that it wasn't like a Weird Al scenario where it was like, it'd be hilarious if we wrote a song about this, right? Like, that'd be crazy. No, it's real.
It's real. All too
it's
real.
It's real. Yeah. I don't know if it rules. But it kind of rules. I mean, I will say the fact that Pac-Man Fever happened kind of rules. I mean,
yes.
It's fun. I mean, video game addiction is very serious. It's very real.
Sure.
Let's talk about it. Let's not talk about it. It's funny that Pac-Man Fever happened. And I also know that a lot of people who were really into Pac-Man were women. And I can find the link to this. I read an old interview about Ms. Pac-Man, and part of why that was what they went with was apparently because they were like, oh, there's so many women who are into Pac-Man. So like, I don't know, maybe there should be a lady Pac-Man, and should we try to be respectful? We don't know how. But that was apparently a piece of it, which I thought was like amusing, but like kind of a cool interview to read. And just the fact that people were so freaking obsessed with Pac-Man, I find it kind of endearing. I like it. I dig it.
Totally agree.
I may have something here in my hole that could be relevant to this Pac-Man Fever conversation. So I'm gonna look in this cabinet real quick and see if I have what I think I have.
Okay, Heather's digging away for something. What you were talking about, Maddie, I read something similar, because a big part of it was Toru Iwatani who developed this game, and it's interesting that it's like 40 years ago. You know, we're talking so many pre-consoles, basically. The discussion was still like, his part of the birth of this game was, he was like, games are too violent. There's all these games that are hit games are just about shooting and killing things. And what if there was a game that was just about, you know, eating
and avoiding death itself.
Right.
Yeah, I found it. Okay, so the Midway Games spokesman, Stan Jarocki, talked to Electronic Games in 1982, and he said, Pac-Man was the first commercial video game to involve large numbers of women as players. It expanded our customer base and made Pac-Man a hit. Now we're producing this new game as Pac-Man as our way of thanking all those lady arcaders who have played and enjoyed Pac-Man. So there
lady
you go.
Lady arcaders.
I love
that's
it,
awesome.
Right? Isn't that great?
Rules.
Yes.
That's, screw the word gamer, amazing. You know? We're not using that anymore. Yeah. Lady arcader is how I prefer to be referred to.
That's pretty good.
Isn't it?
I like that.
It's got a ring to it. But yeah, that's why Ms. Pac-Man is a gift to the ladies. To the ladies out there.
This one goes out to all the ladies.
Well, but to take it back to the Pac-Man Fever of it all, I do find it very endearing. I also know at one point there was a Google, like, you know how Google does the Google Doodles and like sometimes there's a game in there? They did a Pac-Man one at one point, and my mom, who kind of likes video games but is like a little afraid of getting addicted to them, confessed to me that she got very addicted to the Pac-Man Google Doodle and was like kept playing the Pac-Man on there and like got that Pac-Man fever back, got a little lady arcader back in Ms. Myers's brain. And she was like, Maddie, this is why I can't be allowed to play games, because I have no way to stop. And I'm like, Mom, it's Pac-Man. No one could blame you. No one could blame you for wanting to keep playing Pac-Man.
He's undeniable.
So that's the other reason why I like Pac-Man and Pac-Man Fever as a concept.
That rules.
I thought, guys, and maybe I do and I just can't find it. I thought that I had the cereal box from Pac-Man cereal, but the only one I can find is Donkey Kong cereal.
Look at that.
Which was about the same time, but my Pac-Man one must be in a different file folder.
Are those barrels? You're eating little barrels?
Yeah, you
looks
were
like
eating
Donkey Kong's
barrels.
Throwing one.
You were eating barrels.
Yeah.
Back in the
He's
day.
He's throwing them and you either catch them in your mouth or Mario swoops in and just smashes them.
And Mario's hitting one of the barrels and it says crunch, which I approve of.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
You want
There's
that
also
crunch?
you can order a baseball shirt on the side of the box. Just like imagine if you'd sent away for that. Here we go. She's got the Nintendo cereal system up now.
Yeah, the Nintendo cereal system was a 50-50 cereal box. Half of it was berry, half of it was fruity. One side was The Legend of Zelda, one side was Mario.
Wow.
I do have Pac-Man
Was
somewhere.
The Legend of Zelda considered to be fruity or berry? Probably fruity.
It looks like he's fruity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because fruity. Link is an androgynous icon, and we all know that.
We got to give it up.
It wasn't derogatory back then. It was. What am I saying?
Yeah. Nothing anybody at the arcade wanted to be called more than androgynous.
Or fruity.
Yeah.
Yum. Tasty.
Any other thoughts on Pac-Man before we move on?
I'm honestly going to dig out my Game Boy after this. You guys have inspired me.
I love it.
I'm going to try Pac-Man. I'm going to try it. I'm going to enjoy being really good at Pac-Man after spending a week being like, am I bad at this? What's going on?
The next time you go to an arcade, if you sit down to play Pac-Man, you'll be like, this feels good.
Mm-hmm. People will gather around, and that's when I'm going to finally be cool. I'll have friends, and
shouldn't have been the takeaway from my story. As soon as I was done, those people just walked away with blank faces and pretended like they hadn't seen anything.
Yeah, get her. That's what they were yelling. Yeah.
Get the nerd. Swirlies. But they waited respectfully until you glitched out the system and then got up. And they were like, okay, now the spell is broken. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's just respecting a lady arcader.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey, lady arcaders.
Hey, it's our video game sales segment, Pixel Chart.
Ooh.
I got a list here of the top 10 highest grossing arcade games of all time. If y'all want to guess them, this is according to US Gamer, RIP, shut down in 2020. Pac-Man is number one with a bullet, released in 1980 by Namco, 400,000 cabinets sold, estimated revenue by 1990, $3.5 billion. Wow. $3.5 billion in quarters sucked into these bad boys, consumed by Pac-Man, say, in Waka Waka Waka. Inflation adjusted, that's $7.6 billion. Thanks, Biden. Can you guys guess the remainder of the top five? Yeah. Thank you, Matt. So anyone can chime in, and I'll give hints if we need them. But the remainder of the top five, you know, it's you can guess the era here. Everything's before 2000, I can say.
I have an overall question, but maybe this is too much. And if you cannot answer this question, tell me that you can't.
Okay, great.
Is a pinball machine considered an arcade cabinet?
Pinball is not here. Pinball is nowhere on the list.
Okay, just a clarifying question. That's all I wanted to know.
These are arcade video games.
Is Ms. Pac-Man in the top five?
Ms. Pac-Man is number four.
Nice.
Released in 1982, Bally Midway, $1.2 billion in revenue.
Street Fighter 2.
Pac-Man's number four. Heather, you are correct. Guess. Street Fighter 2 / Champion Edition occupies the number three slot, released in 1991 by Capcom, of course, $2.3 billion in quarters. Guys are doing great so far.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out Mortal Kombat 2.
Mortal Kombat 2 is on the list, but not in the top five.
Oh, wow.
Mortal Kombat 2 actually, both Mortal Kombats are number 8 and 9 on the list.
What
so
about Tetris? Is that
Tetris Arcade not in the top 10.
Tetris is so fun in an arcade, though.
So fun. Whatever. I love the arcade Tetris.
People are wrong. They should have put more quarters in there.
So our current winners are Pac-Man, Street Fighter 2, and Ms. Pac-Man?
Ms. Pac-Man, yes. There's two slots left. Number 2 and number 5. Here's the first hint. The first one on the number 2 on the list was released before Pac-Man. Pac-Man comes out in 1980, so a game that predates Pac-Man.
Pong.
Not Pong.
Wow.
But you're in the right ballpark.
Hmm.
There's like another one.
Maybe Asteroids?
You know what?
Space Invaders.
You are correct, Matt. Wow. Space Invaders, released in 1978 by Taito.
Said that,
thank you, Pixels, for giving me the info.
It can have come out before 1980, but I guess it did. Huh.
It did, 1978, $2.7 billion. And number five was another 90s arcade game. Not a fighter.
Is it going to be something like fucking X-Men Children of the Atom?
No, it's not a beat-em-up. By the way, I should note, Asteroids, you mentioned, Matt. Asteroids is number 7, so that is in the top 10. So that's a good guess.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm good at guessing.
I've got another guess.
Yeah.
NBA Jam.
Heather, well played.
Yes.
1993, NBA Jam.
Wow.
By Midway, $1.1 billion.
She's on fire!
That list makes sense, though.
It does, yeah.
Good freaking games. Those are the games that you rent for the party, and everybody is crowded around each one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
So pumped that you rented a bunch of arcade cabinets for your party.
A baller would that be. Defender also on the list, and Donkey Kong comes in at number 10. Well, there you go. That's Pixel Chart, and that's this week's Get Played. You can follow us on social media at Get Played Pod. Our music and engineering Our music and engineering are by Devin Bryant. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And this month's We Play, You Play is Norco, coming next Monday, June 27th on PC Game Pass. Also, check out our premium show, Get Animated. Heather, we're still watching Evangelion.
Yes, we're still watching Neon Genesis Evangelion, making our way towards the end of the series and then finishing with the film. So come along, join us. I think we're on episodes 7 and 8.
That's right.
Sounds about yes. right. It sounds about right as of this release. It's available on Stitcher Premium or at patreon.com/getplayed. Maddie Myers, an absolute delight. Thank you so much for being here. We've completed the triple click triforce.
I'm
very excited about
you
that.
Had to do it.
I will say that I'm a huge fan of Triple Click. I listen every week. I listen to this week's episode today out my walk. It's a great podcast. Like I told Kirk, it's like our show except the hosts are smart.
Yeah.
So highly recommended to anyone out there who likes video games.
Whereas I would describe your show as like our show, but the hosts are funny. So like it kind of depends on which.
Come on,
you guys are really funny.
Yeah, you guys are funny.
I'm the funny
Maddie. agree with you there, Maddie. A delight to have you here. You can check out your work at Polygon. Anything you want to plug?
No, you know, check out Triple Click if you want to hear Jason talk about why Sweet Code and 2 is good. Yes. Also, Kirk's there. He plays the saxophone, so that's fun.
He sure does.
Yeah, he rips on that bad boy.
He does in the theme song too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Devin. When you're listening to this later, can you add some wailing sax to our theme song?
Guys, this was really nice, and I think for the first time maybe we all got played.
Wow.
Oh, that's nice, Heather.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
we all got played by Ken.